Well, the gospel that we just read is a long one, and I'm only going to deal with the first half. And I want to offer to you this morning that the Lord, in this first half of the gospel, gives us a kind of recipe for readiness. He doesn't just tell us to be ready, but he tells us, in some sense, how. Every recipe has ingredients, and this recipe as well. And we see here, if you will, five basic ingredients in the recipe. And they are simply these: that we should reassess our wealth, be ready to work, read the word, remain watchful, and reflect on our reward. Now, looking at each of these, if you will, five basic ingredients in this recipe for readiness, let's look at the first one. The Lord says, first of all, in order to be ready when he shall come, we need to, first of all, reassess our wealth. The Lord says here, do not be afraid any longer, little flock. Your Father is pleased to give you the kingdom. So sell your belongings and give alms. Provide money for yourselves that, and money bags for yourselves that don't wear out. An inexhaustible treasure in heaven that no thief can reach nor moth destroy. And then the Lord gives a key thing here about being ready. He says, for where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. Now, brothers and sisters, there's a lot in these just few lines. The first thing the Lord tells us to do is that we should forego fear. We need to begin to let go of fear. You know what makes us greedy? You know what makes us worldly? Fear. We grab hold of everything. We hoard it. We're all anxious about storing up for the future and worried about tomorrow. And the Lord says, look, let go of some of this fear. I didn't say it's a bad idea to have a 401k or some kind of retirement plan. Yeah, put a little aside. But brothers and sisters, one of the reasons we fail to be generous is that we keep piling up stuff for ourselves, thinking we can't live without it, thinking we just can't do without all these extra things. It is, if you will, a fear that just keeps us in bondage. So the Lord, first of all, says, don't be afraid. The Lord wants to give you the kingdom of heaven. And so it is. He simply says that we should, first of all, forego fear, and then forward our fortune. Now, when I say forward our fortune, the Lord says elsewhere, store up for yourself treasure in heaven. You see, that new car you bought, it's going to rust. That money that you got all put away in the bank, that's tainted money. It means it taint yours. It's going to go to somebody else. On the day you die, all that paper, you could put it all in the coffin with you. Wouldn't do you any good. So, again, so the Lord says, how about if you could have a place where you could put wealth, where it wouldn't rust, it wouldn't lose value when the market goes down, it wouldn't go out of fashion. You know, how many folks bought houses in the 50s and 60s, and those houses are hopelessly out of fashion now? There's no great room, there's no whatever, you know. So what if you could put your wealth somewhere where all that kind of stuff wouldn't apply? And the answer is you can. It's in heaven. But how do you get your treasure to be stored up in heaven? And the answer is not to buy a rocket ship or a balloon and send it up. The answer is to give to the needy, to the poor, to those who are struggling, to share your wealth with those who are struggling. And in this way, we store it up in heaven. So the Lord says here again, don't be afraid. Your Father wants to give you the kingdom. And therefore sell what you don't need and lighten up and travel light and be less attached to this world. And that leads to the final and the most important point in this first part of the recipe. The Lord says, look, once you forego fear and you forward your fortune, your treasure is going to be in heaven. Now here's the key. We've got to fix our focus. You see, where our treasure is, that is where our heart is going to be. Now the reason that most of us today struggle with some degree of worldliness is because what we treasure is here. The things that we're most proud of are nothing but sand and water. Our house, our car, our money, whatever. We're so proud of these things. We treasure these things. And the Lord says, all that's really nothing but sand and water. Your real treasure is heaven and the things waiting for you in heaven. But the reason we just dismiss that is because we're so wrapped up and tied to this world. And what ties us to this world is money, creature comforts, all the things that we so prize. And again, brothers and sisters, this is a very deep struggle. I'm not telling you I'm free of it. I'm not up here saying, well, get your act together out there. We're all in this struggle, amen? And this is a very deep struggle to begin to reassess and refix our focus so that what we really value is in heaven. And that's our real treasure. And we begin to become less impressed and less desirous and less addicted to the things of this world. Only the Lord can pull this off. Amen? Only the Lord can do this. So again, this great gift that we need to first of all receive from the Lord, that we would reassess our wealth, to be able, by His grace, to be able to simply say, all the stuff of this world, I need a little bit. I need some food and water and shelter, but I don't need a lot of it. It doesn't impress me that much. I could do without it. I could do with less. And then we're free to give our money more to the needy, to the poor, maybe someone in our family who needs assistance, whatever it might be. Store it up for our children's college education, rather than spend it on a car, you know, or what have you. So again, you see the vision here. The Lord says the first step in being ready is to reassess our wealth. But I promise you, brothers and sisters, if your wealth is here, if what you most value is in this world, you're going to spend your money and your time and your attention is all going to be devoted to it, and you and I will not be ready when judgment day comes. So again, this is an important battle. Ask the Lord. He's not your enemy in this. He's the only one who can save us. Amen? So again, this first, if you will, recipe for readiness. The first one is reassess your wealth. Secondly, be ready to work. The text simply says, the Lord says, gird your loins. Now, this is the ancient equivalent of roll up your sleeves. To gird the loins of the garment, the loins were everything from the belt down, these long flowing garments they wore. Like I'm wearing, you can't see it now, but this long white alb, it goes right to the top of my shoes. Now, if I have to start picking up some boxes and going up and down stairs, my legs are all encumbered by the lower part of that garment. So what I got to do is pull it up and tighten my belt and free my legs so I'm not tripping. So the image is work. So again, gird your loins means roll up your sleeves. Get ready to work. Now all of us have received a work from the Lord. A work. It isn't just a question of career, but vocation. Some of you are parents and grandparents. Your work is to raise your children in the fear of the Lord, the godly fear of the Lord, to help them to know the way and walk in it. That's your work. Some of us are called to the priesthood and the religious life, and we have a work to do. Some of us are good teachers. Some of us here are good organizers. Some of us here are good with money. We're able to help people to budget and get their things together. Some of us here are good businessmen and women, and we're able not only to earn money for ourselves, but to provide job opportunities for others. You see, so the Lord has given us gifts, and therefore we have a work to do. And brothers and sisters, we don't just work in our strength, even in our weakness. You see, some here are called to serve the Lord through suffering, to offer your suffering up to God as a sacrificial offering for the salvation of souls. The Lord hears the cry of the poor, the brokenhearted, the sick, and the suffering. If you've been weighed down with infirmity, just know this: you've got a prayer ministry. You've got a capacity to have your prayer take on special power. You see, so don't just think that we serve the Lord in our strength, but even in our weakness, we have a work to do. So often I visit the people in the hospitals and the nursing homes, and I say, listen, pray, 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 pray. Just give everything you're going through to the Lord. I promise you, you can change world history right from this hospital bed. I promise you, if you're weighed down with grief, with anxiety, or worry, give it to God. Say, Lord, take it. Take it as an offering. I offer it to you. St. Paul said that we make up in our own flesh for the sufferings that are still lacking in the mystical body of Christ. In other words, through his suffering and his weakness, Jesus saved us on that cross. Amen? And he said, you too, join your sufferings to my perfect suffering, and I promise you, souls will be saved. So again, the second aspect of being ready to meet the Lord one day is to be ready to work. We reassess our wealth, we get about the work that God has given us. Whether we work in our strength or in our weakness, the Lord says, realize you have a role in my kingdom. You have a work to do. Be found when I come looking for you. Just make sure I find you awake and working and not asleep and lazy. Amen? So reassess your wealth. Be ready to work. The next, read the word. The text says, light your lamps. Now, this image of the lamp in Scripture is an image for God's word. Let me give you a couple Scripture quotes. From the book of Psalms, it says here, your word, O Lord, is a light unto my feet and a lamp unto my path. Again, the word of God lights up the way before us so that we don't stumble and fall in the darkness of ignorance and stupidity. We need a word to light our way. Otherwise, we so easily trip and fall. Again, another example, the second letter of Peter, in the first chapter, says, we possess the prophetic message of God and know that it is altogether reliable. And you do well to be attentive to this prophetic message as if it were a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Again, the word of God is given to us. The image is a lamp that lights up the darkness. Now, if you want to be ready to meet the Lord one day, read God's word every day. Be immersed in God's word, in his word. Be in church every Sunday to hear even a poor sermon God can get through to us. Amen? Brothers and sisters, we've got to be dedicated to the word of God. I simply say this to you, There is just too much stinking thinking out there for us to think that we are going to have minds that are anything but polluted if we are not washing them out daily in the Word of God. You know, if a sponge gets dirty or filthy, how do you clean it out? You take it and plunge it into clean water and wring it out and back into the clean water and you wring it out and back into the clean water and you wring it out. And if we're watching too much of that TV and being too influenced by the world, and we are, we need to wring out our brain. We need to dip it in the clean water of God's Word and wring it out. Kind of give you a headache there and wringing out your brain. All right, you see the idea, right? God's Word. Read the Word. And don't just read it, heed it. Listen and apply it in your life. So again, you could hear the sermon today and say, that was a nice sermon, Father. And if you don't go home with a plan to start reading God's Word every day, you may have read the Word today, but the question is not just to read it, but to heed it. So it is that our minds begin to become clearer, cleaner, sober, and attentive to what really matters if we dedicate ourselves to God's Word. You say, I don't know how to go about reading the Bible, Father. How do I begin? Well, I can't go through all that today, but let me suggest to you a couple of alternatives. One is to just follow the church's reading plan. Every day we have readings assigned to us from the Scripture in daily mass. You can buy a little magazine called Magnificat, or you can buy a daily missal and just take that out and read it every day. Another way is to simply, there's some reading plans on these Gateway, you know, Bible Gateway has a reading plan. There's all kinds of things out on the internet. And a third way is just to take, I would recommend to begin with, one of the epistles, maybe 2 Peter, 1 Peter, some of the letters of St. Paul, and just start to read them slowly every day. But read God's Word. Amen? All right, so we need to reassess our wealth. Be ready to work. We need to read the Word. The next thing is we need to remain watchful. Now, the Lord gives this image of servants who are waiting and watchful in this. He says, be like servants who await their master's return, say from a wedding, and be ready to open immediately when he knocks. Now, be sure of this. If the master of the house had known the hour when the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. So also you must be prepared, for in an hour that you don't expect, the Son of Man will come. Now, there's an image here of being watchful and waiting. If you know that you're going to have an important guest at your house, you start to do a few things, don't you? You clean up and you declutter. All right, so we clean the house, we prepare the house. We, if you will, get rid of anything. We clean, we dust, we what have you. And then, I don't know about you, but it's not just a lack of cleanliness, but it's a problem of clutter. Anyone got that problem? Papers piled up and, you know, can't even sit on the sofa because, you know, well, anyway, you get the point. The dining room table, haven't eaten at that thing in years. It's just piled up with papers, amen? All right. That can happen. So when a guest comes, perhaps an important guest, we clean up and we declutter. And in our lives, the house, of course, is our soul, is the home where we live, is our very self. We need to, in order to be ready when the Lord comes, we need to be, first of all, cleaning up. If there's any unrepented sin in your life, get on your knees and beg God's mercy. Get to confession. Be regular about confession. You know, confession's like taking a shower. Please, bathe frequently. We don't want the Lord to have to sort of hold his nose when he comes near us. Amen? See, you know, we walk on up for communion and we say, body of Christ, amen. And the Lord's like, woo! So, bathe regularly. Amen? We need to clean up. And then we need to declutter. To declutter. And that is to say, all of us need to learn to simplify our life a little, get more focused on what's really important. You see, what happens in life, especially in the busy type of world in which we live in the modern age, is that we're following the priority of the urgent rather than the priority of the important. Our lives are cluttered, busy, hurried. We have all kinds of gizmos and gadgets, and they all need insurance, they need attention, they need a repairman, whatever. And the Lord says, declutter your life. All right? Get ready for me to come. Don't be all distracted by the clutter of this world. Get focused. Simplify. Now do what's important and don't be running around chasing butterflies all day, you know? Make your prayer a priority. Make reading scripture a priority. Make reconciling with your loved ones a priority. Make growing in holiness and getting to church a priority, you see. See, these are the things the Lord is saying to us here. So this image of servants getting the house ready for the master, for the owner to return is the image that the Lord gives us here. Now, therefore, that's our fourth one. So again, reassessing our wealth, being ready to work, reading the word, remaining watchful, and then finally reflecting on the reward. The Lord says, blessed! When the Lord says blessed, that's good. Because the Lord knows how to give blessings, amen? The Lord says, blessed are those servants whom the master finds doing these things, finds vigilant on his arrival. Amen, I say to you, he will have them sit at table. I'm pointing to the altar, church. He will have them sit at table and proceed to wait on them. And should he come in the second or the third watch, blessed are those servants. And what the Lord means here is, you and I can get serious about faith for about 3 months, and then we backslide. Amen? You know, some go to church for to sing and shout, and before 6 months, they's all turned out. So the Lord isn't just looking for you and me to make a commitment that lasts just a fortnight. He wants us to make a lifelong commitment. And the Lord says, blessed are those servants whom the master finds vigilant, and especially blessed are those servants who get about this work and are persistent and are consistent and do not backslide and turn back. Amen? So again, developing a real habit, a character that surrounds these principles of readiness is essential for us. Now, the Lord says, if you're doing this, I've got some blessings for you. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you meditated on heaven? Really thought about the joy, about the glory, the majesty, the beauty of heaven? You know, it's amazing. If you look at some of the old prayers, back in the old days, life was pretty uncomfortable. They didn't have air conditioning, electricity, running water, medicine. Life was pretty brutal and pretty short in the old days. And if you read the prayers and the hymns from that time, there's a lot of longing for heaven. Oh Lord, I just can't wait to come on home and just be with you forever. Soon I will be done with the troubles of this world. I'm going to go home and be with my God. Some of the old prayers, you know, a lot of you know the Salve Regina. To you, O Blessed Mother, it says, we cry, mourning and weeping in this valley of tears. Poor exiled children of Eve. Again, longing for that day when we can someday come home, come out of exile, come out of this valley of tears, and be with God and with joy forever. When was the last time? You see, we're so comfortable today that a lot of people just say, Lord, I tell you what, just make this world more pleasant, and I'll stay here forever. give me a little more health, a little more money, a little more creature comforts, fix my health, I'll just stay here forever. The way we pray, it's amazing. I don't say not to pray about your health, but brothers and sisters, I don't know about you, but I'm also hurrying down the path of life, and I can't wait to get to the end so I can go on home and be with God. Someone says, oh, Father, you're getting near 50. Ain't it awful? No, it's great. It's great. It means maybe 20 or 30 years more, and I'll be with the Lord. I can't wait. I love this life, but I'm excited about what the Lord has in store for me. Joys unending. It is so glorious. St. Paul was caught up into the heavens, and he came back to himself, and he said, I can't even put into words what I saw there. Anyone who's ever been drawn into contemplative prayer with God cannot even put into words of the joy, the peace, the serenity that they experience. Brothers, sisters, we have a joy, a blessing waiting for us, and it is worth any sacrifice. So the final step in being ready to meet God, or the final part of the recipe today, is to reflect on our reward. Pray about heaven, meditate, long for it, yearn for it. I know we all have a natural fear of death. We'll get through that. But heaven, brothers and sisters, pray about it, think about it, meditate day in and day out. So it is, why should we do that, and why does that make us ready? Because once again, it changes our focus from being obsessed with this world and its preoccupations to being focused on the joys waiting for me one day with God in heaven. Again, the Lord says, get ready. And how should we get ready? Reassess what we value. Reassess our wealth. Be, if you will, ready to work. Read the word. Remain watchful and reflect on our reward. The Lord, brothers and sisters, wants us to be ready. I said he wants us to be ready. I'll finish with an old song. It simply says, softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling for you and for me. See, on the portals, he's watching. He's waiting. Waiting for you and for me. He's saying, come home. Come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling, oh sinner. Oh sinner, come home. The Lord's saying, get ready. Get ready. Follow the recipe. Every day, work on getting ready. Because I'm coming. When you least expect, I'm coming. Get ready. I have blessings, and I want to give them to you. Amen.